your downloads blew up in the matter of a week. I'd love to know more about that week and what that means to you guys.
What comes to mind initially is I remember there were a few days I had to charge my phone 3 or 4 times that day because I was corresponding with so many people at the same time. And since we didn't have a website at the time, Instagram was where our followers, where our listeners were. And we were just getting nonstop notifications, messages. I wish I kept count, but it was just happening so fast.
If you've launched a podcast and are looking to learn from people who've achieved success in the industry, this is the place for you. Here we talk with successful podcasters, influencers, and industry insiders about how they did it, so you can too. My name is Christine O'Donnell. I'm a journalist, podcast producer, and founder of BrightSighted, a podcast coaching and production company. Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Hello, and welcome to the show. If you are new here, hello, welcome. I'm Christine, and I'm a mom, I'm a wife, a friend, and a business owner. After spending more than a decade in front of the TV news cameras on both the local and national stages, I found myself in the personal branding and podcasting world, which is one of the reasons I started this podcast. Now, this week's episode was actually delayed in the production process because I finally delivered my second child, a baby girl named Ava. And if you are curious, we did post some pictures on Instagram and you can find them at TheChristineOD. Also want to do a special thanks, a shout out to BrightSighted intern Matthew for helping with the editing on this week's episode. Speaking of this week's episode, this is such an interesting and impactful show where we discuss the anti-racism movement with dynamic podcasting duo Denise Aquino and Patrice Desteen, who launched their podcast Rowing in Color in March, right before quarantine started in the US, and it has grown fast. Like super fast. But before we dive into this week's episode, I do want to thank our reviewer of the week. This one comes from Latice Hudson, who follows BrightSighted Media on Instagram. And she posted, "This is awesome," in regards to our episode with Elsie Escobar. Thank you so much, Latice, for following along and listening to our show. Now let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. On today's episode, we have the co-founders of Rowing in Color, a podcast dedicating to promoting diversity within the sport of rowing. We have Denise Aquino and Patricia Desteen. Both are former rowers turned coxswains turned coaches in the sport. And together, they have almost 25 years of experience on the erg, at regattas, in the launch, or at the boathouse, meaning they are no strangers to microphones or telling people what to do. So in a little over 4 months, you guys have just grown. You've blown up exponentially. I'm sure podcasters would love to learn how you guys are handling it and what you guys have done to be so successful. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so happy to be here. Thank you so much, Christine.
Yeah, thank you.
So how has all of this been for you guys? We'll start with you, Denise.
Yeah, no, it's been a journey. When we started this podcast, we knew we would be doing it no matter what, whether 2 people were listening to it, 10 people, 100 people. And when we got to 100 people, we were like, yes, we made it. And then a few weeks later, we got to a few thousand. And it's something that, you know, you want to work for, and you want, and we knew we would get there. We just didn't anticipate getting there that quickly. And so with that, there was a little bit of whiplash, but then after that, you know, we adapted real quick. And just like coxing when steering a boat, you know, when the tailwind kicks up, you take that tailwind and you go, you get that free speed and you work with it, you adapt and you move that boat to where it needs to be. So it's been motivating, highly motivating to serve the community and see the large amount of people who want to hear what we have to say and to hear what our guests have to say. So it's been really a blessing.
How about you, Patricia?
I mean, just like Denise just said, it just at first it was so shocking. I still get shocked about how people keep following us to this day. Every time we get like a new follower on Instagram, I'm like, Denise, look, where like people are hearing my voice, people are hearing her voice, and people are actually listening to our opinions, you know. And so it's shocking at first, and then you start to like realize that you have a platform and you have to use it for the right reasons, and that like the stories of others are being told naturally and we're not adding anything. So I think every time we, you know, at first it's shocking, and then you realize your platform, and then you realize it's just like we're helping spread these stories that other people have never heard.
I mean, I've listened to a number of your guys' podcasts, and for anybody listening who doesn't know, the reason I ended up going to college was actually because I was a rower and I was a recruited athlete, and I am very lucky to have gotten a scholarship to go to college, but it is a super white sport. And I am ashamed to admit that I was missing it. Like I was just so focused on like, you know, being scared of not doing as well on the 2K or doing like, I was so like obsessed in my own head of like everything that was going on that I just wasn't thinking about the lack of diversity in the sport of rowing. This sport has needed this podcast for a long time.
Thanks so much for sharing that. And I think a lot of white folks within the sport are having this awakening, and even not just white folks, but also non-Black people of color as well are having this sort of, you know, waking up and realizing, oh, wait, there's something missing here. And I think because rowing is such an intense sport, I mean, like you mentioned, Christine, it was a vehicle for you to go to college. And I think because rowing just adds that intensity, we're at the boathouse 6 days a week for 12 practices. I mean, there's so many layers of intensity to it. Add that to the blind spots with race, and it's long overdue. Yes, you're right.
Did you have anything you wanted to add, Patricia?
I agree with both of you. It's something that like, you know, when you're in the gym for so long, you're just training, you stop looking around at like everyone who's around you. You stop looking at like little things. You stop thinking about little things. And until someone is like, there are not that many people of color in this sport. You know, you don't look for that. You just kind of keep going because that's not something that you're affected by. You're like, okay, I just need to get through this season. I need to get through, you know, getting to the seat race. You're just not thinking about the bigger picture until someone says it. And then once someone says it, it's like, oh my God, I didn't realize how bad it was. And I think that's what happened with us. There were obviously people thinking it, but those were the people of color who were affected by it. And then once I think we said it at one major week where we blew up that Denise is referring to, I remember having so many people who, white people DM us like, can you explain to me how I can be better? Because I never even thought about that there weren't that many people of color on my team. We had, you know, there were people who were like, oh yeah, I only have that one Black girl, and I just never thought too much about it. Or I had this one Black guy and I never thought about it because they were just my teammates. Kind of where people get the reference. It's like, well, I don't see color, but it's like color does exist. So we can't be blind to it. And so I think, you know, people just keep going, and our rowing is a sport that like people move a lot and they just don't think about it. You just think about the race, you know, the coming race, and don't think about the little effects that it has on our society or affects our rowing community.
Well, it has a huge effect. And has it been annoying or frustrating for you guys to hear people like me say the things that I just said?
I think in order to move forward, I think we all need to move past judging each other for what we've been doing wrong. And I think instead looking forward to what we can do right. But I think with that, with what you mentioned, I don't think it gets annoying. I'd say the only part that gets annoying is when folks say, educate me, teach me. And I think I can't remember the last time I said this, but I feel like I've said it at least once, but it's not the job of people of color to educate white folks. And I think for a lot of white folks, that's kind of like headlines for them and is like bright shining news for them. And that's the only part that, you know, I have to take a deep breath before writing that email or answering that question, because it's almost like the sense of entitlement. And I don't want to respond to someone with a sense of judgment when the intentions are there. However, I'd want to do what I can. I hate to say this, but like given the patience that I have, given the capacity for someone yelling and speaking to me as if I owe them this information, you know, I think given the bandwidth that I have to do that, I do the best I can to direct someone to the right resources. But there is a limit, you know, and there's a boundary that we need to draw for ourselves as people of color when working with this topic and working with this. I mean, it's not touched for a reason, right? It's very sensitive. So we want to make sure that we're doing it right. And so it doesn't get annoying, but we have learned how to draw our boundaries and draw them very firmly.
No, yeah. I think Denise hit all the major points. Like, there's been times like where she like has to message me, she'll send me a text and she's like, how do I respond to this? Because is this really being asked of us? Our podcast is not there as an education guide for white people. It's there for us to give people of color a voice. But to some extent, you are going to get educated. If you are listening to these stories, you're listening to people's lives get played out through our podcast, you are going to get educated if you notice that there's something that's been lacking in your program. You might have something to learn from it. But our podcast is not there for us to be like, spoon feed, here's the white guide of how to be not racist or how to make your team look diverse. Because there's the things that as humans, we should already know how to do. You know, like we should already know how to make someone feel comfortable and accept it. Because that's the same way we would want to be treated. So a lot of times we bounce off of each other and it's like, do you feel the need to respond to this? Because is this something that we haven't already checked off in our podcast? And if you're listening to the recording, at some point, this information has been mentioned. And so there's moments where, like Denise says, we've learned to like control of how we communicate with a certain message when people DM us. Like we respond to all of those, but like there's times where it's like, you're asking me to hold your hand and guide you through this process. You're not trying to go through the struggles. And I think there's also like, there's a meme or a post that has been floating around where it's like, white people have gone through this, black people have gone through this, brown people have gone through this, Asian people have gone through this, white people are still learning. And it's kind of like, well, we've gone through all these processes and you're still like, give me a second, I need to learn. I'm still in my learning process. And at the same time, it's kind of like, no, you've been given a long second, so it's not time for that. And I think our podcast, that's what it is. It's like, people of color need to talk. They need to be who they are at this moment. And if you're learning from it, great. But it's not time for them to pause and help you learn. It's time for you to just kind of like figure out where you were messing up along the line.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And your message is right there on your podcast. Like, you're there you're amplifying voices of color. And that is awesome. I would love to know when, you know, you're talking about how your downloads blew up in the matter of a week. I'd love to know more about that week and what that means to you guys. I'm sure there's lots of different layers.
Yeah, there were a lot of layers. What comes to mind initially is I remember there were a few days I had to charge my phone 3 or 4 times that day because I was corresponding with so many people at the same time. And since we didn't have a website at the time, Instagram was where our followers, where our listeners were. And we were just getting nonstop notifications, messages. I wish I kept count, but it was just happening so fast where I really remember just having to charge my phone so many times in the same day. And my phone's not old. The battery isn't old or anything, you know, it definitely wasn't that. And so having to, as an introvert, because I'm definitely an introvert, having to all of a sudden be, so to speak, on call during this week, and I guess be present with our listeners in a way that we hadn't, I don't want to say that we hadn't been before, but in a way that was a much higher volume, was something that I think one of those first signs where we thought, okay, this is really snowballing into something big. And people are looking to us for direction. People are looking to us for community. And I mean, every step of the way since then, we looked at our mission. We thought, okay, are we supposed to educate people? Are we supposed to advocate for people? No, it says it right there. I mean, you said it, Christine, it's in our mission. We're here to amplify. We're here to pass the mic. Because at the end of the day, Black voices should be enough. And if the world, if that was the world standard, and if that people in society thought that as a whole, we probably wouldn't have the problems that we do have. We probably wouldn't have the the murders that are publicized and non-publicized. And so I think just to make sure that everyone knows that their voices matter, not just Black people, but Indigenous and people of color as well. And just to amplify and pass the mic is just something that we wanted to make sure we kept in mind as we took the steps forward from that week. But other than charging my phone nonstop, we really wanted to make sure that we were following through with our mission.
Like Jimmy said, I remember us having about, like, my Instagram and my personal Instagram are connected, and I've never received that many DMs in my personal Instagram. So my phone was going off in the middle of the night, and I was like, what is going on? And there's people from like California and Seattle and just DMing or liking or commenting on the post. And so it was big thing, but it was also from a lot of people of color. In the beginning, it was just like, oh my God, this is something I've always wanted my coach to know, and you guys have said it. You guys dropped the bomb in the middle of the locker room, and now everyone's kind of looking around at each other like, well, I didn't realize this was a conversation that we needed to have. Or I knew it was a conversation, but no one wanted to have it, and you guys put it out there. And once a lot of people of color started DMing us about it, I remember so many white people were just like, oh my God, applause to you. Like, you know, you're sending out the message. I'm so happy. Like, I remember receiving so much, but I'm just kind of like, did you guys take it in? In my head, like, I remember like sitting down, I was like, do you think they understand the message that's actually being said in there? Or are they just kind of like, you guys said a big topic, like, oh my God, all my friends of color are happy about it, then this must be something that I should be happy about as well. But like, and then later on, it just kept growing. And then from there, it went from like, we hit 1,000, and then just kept going from there. And now we are like 4,000 and something. And it's like, that's still our highest, most listened interview, was that one. And people still listen to it to this day, where it's like, oh my God, these people have told their truth. They're, you know, a lot of them are anonymous. Some of them are not anonymous, but everyone who was there was a person of color who's faced some type of backlash for being a person of color in the sport. And they all range in different ages and, you know, genders, and they still face some racial discrimination because of simply who they were, not because they weren't judged because of their athletic ability. They were judged simply because of who they were, like what color skin they were born in. And so I think that for us, that was one of our biggest, us recording in general, we were just like, okay, are you ready to do this? Like, we have to like keep prepping ourselves. And then once it was out there, it was kind of like, yeah, people, we can't, there's no going back now. There's no turning back, because this is something that needs to be said. And we knew we would have to get to this point at some point. We just didn't realize it was going to be that early in our podcast career of doing it.
Yeah. So I just looked up the episode as you brought it up, and that podcast episode was released April 22nd. And you guys started in March. So this is just a few episodes in and you're blowing up. And so this is before there was the mandated quarantine. This was before George Floyd was killed, which happened in May. So your podcast has been needed and craved, and you guys are fulfilling a need. What I'm trying to share here with podcasters who are looking to grow. And I'm not saying for people to copy you, right? Like, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is you guys saw a need for something and fulfilled it. And because you were doing it so quickly, and just every episode that you guys publish has so much thought, there's so much value, there's so many different voices and layers to every episode you put out, which I love. Not all podcasters do that. So you can tell that you guys are really thinking about every episode. So for anyone listening who's like, wow, like, I would love to have the success that Rowing in Color has had, like, you guys thought long and hard about what your subject matter was going to be before implementing it and starting to provide that value to people. How long was it that you guys thought about this before you actually started?
There are the traditional check boxes of like, oh, I need the title, I need the logo, and I need this. We thought for, I'd say we threw around the idea for maybe a year, give or take a year, before actually putting it into action. And there were better times to publish this podcast. You know, like we didn't say, all right, let's pick the pandemic to do, you know, there were better times to do this podcast, but we understood just, all right, this need isn't going to be filled in the next month or 2 months. So like, let's take our time. Cause when we do this, we're going to do it right. We're going to do it with the right title. We're going to seek feedback from our community. We're going to seek feedback from others who've blazed the trail before, not necessarily the same trail, but who've blazed the trail before within the rowing world, and make sure that we're preparing ourselves to the best that we can to serve our community, because it's always about our community. And we want to make sure that everything that we do is not just, oh, okay, Denise and Patricia thought of this, so let's do that. Like, we thought of this idea and we think it's best for everyone else. You know, even in the beginning, even in our first few episodes, we started to reach out to our listeners who, I mean, were really enthusiastic about reaching out to us. And they had some questions to suggest to ask future interviewees. And we didn't waste any time in implementing those questions. And honestly, doing that has saved a ton of work in the long run, because now we don't research any questions. I mean, Patricia came up with a basic set of questions. Not that they were bad, but Patricia's not our listener, you know? For folks outside of the bottle to read to us, like, oh, you know, actually, it would be easier if you told us to do this instead. It would be easier if you asked this question, or I really want to hear about this. Taking the feedback from our listeners early on really, really contributed to that growth in the long run. And it didn't happen overnight, but it was like planting a seed that, you know, all right, I guess come April, this was going to bloom, or come June, this was going to bloom. And so taking the audience feedback was very helpful there.
This was Denise's original idea. Like, she was like, I want to do something. I want to talk about this conversation. And then when she brought it up to me, I was kind of like, I agree. I don't know how you want to do this. I also don't want to be recorded. Like, I don't want my face on it. So I was like, this can't be a YouTube channel. Like, it just couldn't. And so she was like, no, me neither. I want to do a podcast. And it was a kind of a process of, okay, like, when do you want to do it? How do we want to do it? Who are we catering to? When we put these stories out there, when we, you know, record these episodes, and little by little, it became a thing. It was like, okay, do we want to make it a Black History Month thing? Okay, no, let's cater to that, but like, not really. So there was a lot of bouncing of ideas before it got to the point where we're just like, let's just record our first person, you know, let's start from one person and then go from there. And then a lot of our listeners are the reasons why we ask a certain question, like Denise said, or we cater, where we invite certain people. Sometimes some of our listeners are like, well, have you talked to this person? Or have you gotten in contact with this rower? Because in the beginning, a lot of the rowers that we did talk to were collegiate. And a lot of collegiate rowers, unless you are rowing in some of the, you know, fastest national boats, you don't hear about them. Especially people of color in rowing, it was very, they weren't someone that you would constantly hear about. So a lot of the listeners put us in contact with them. It's like, you need to talk to this person. They're so knowledgeable about the sport. They love the sport, but they are the only person of color on their team, or they have very few people of color. And from there, it was just a growing process of, okay, now we have this person. Then we talk to this woman, and we talk to this guy, and they all put us in contact. So it was little, it wasn't a running start. It was kind of like, okay, let's take baby steps and see where we land.
So what would you say to people today if they're thinking about launching a podcast that they really want to make an impact? They want to make a difference. They want their voice to be heard, or they want to amplify other voices, share their story, get it out there. What would your advice to them be?
I would say the second that you don't do it for the money, or at least like deep down, even though you're like on the surface, yeah, I'll do this to get, you know, out of my part-time job, or I'll do this to get like extra income. Once you get that idea out of your head, either on the first level, second level, all the way to deep down, and when you're able to do it for the right reasons, which is to serve your audience, everything else will fall in line. I don't know how else to describe it, but once you think about serving first, as opposed to monetization, everything else falls in line. Because I don't remember exactly who said this, but we've gotten a few folks who've reached out and said that our authenticity and our realness and what we just brought to the microphone and how clear we are in our mission with we're not here to advocate. We're here to amplify and for folks to just see how crystal clear we are with like what we want to do and what we want to deliver. I think really just added to our integrity and helped gain the trust of listeners and other listeners and for them to tell their other friends about it. I think we gained folks' trust that way with our integrity. And it was even actually a listener who suggested to us multiple times, you guys should really set up a Patreon. And I said, oh, we're not going to do this for the money. We don't feel good about that. We're good. We're just going to do this out of the, like, because it's the right thing to do, because it's a passion project. And then like five reminders later, I said, okay, well, you know what? I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. You're a grown person. And now that the money is coming in, it's opened more doors. We're now able to host workshops, virtual, obviously, but workshops where we can pay the facilitators. You know, how many folks are able to do that? And especially with the unemployment rates right now, we wouldn't have been able to do that had it not been for the Patreon, had it not been for our listeners suggesting that to us, had it not been for our integrity, had it not been for us gaining and earning the trust of our listeners and our community. So I think my, long story short, the advice that I would give to folks who are hoping to have this success is don't do it for the money. Definitely get that out of your system. Get it out of your system quick. And then once you think about serving first, everything will fall in place.
Yeah, I agree. Personally, I never even thought we would get like any money out of it. Yeah, I never even thought that was like people would actually be like, I would love to give to the cause. But I think it's also remember what you're doing it for, like that passion or like the drive. Let's, you know, like if you're someone who's like, I really want to talk about youth rowing and, you know, this is what that's what I want to talk about, then that's what you should keep talking about. Don't change off course because it's not trending at the moment. You know, find a way to make it a trend. If that's the thing, like talk about what are the new things that youth rowers want to talk about or youth athletes in general want to talk about, and make that your conversational piece for an episode. But don't veer off course or change the way you set up your podcast because it's not the conversation is not a trend, because conversations come in and out. As long as you keep catering to your audience and what their needs are, I think you'll be fine. I think your podcast will be successful. And if you show that you enjoy it and you show that you're in there, your heart's in the game, your readers and your listeners are, you know, they're all in it. They're gonna follow you. They're hardcore. Like, we still have listeners from day one, and they still DM us and they still message us, and they're just like, every time you guys talk, I feel like I learned something new, or every time there's a new episode, I feel like I'm meeting you guys again for the first time. I'm learning new things about you. So if you are as genuine as possible with your podcast, I think you'll be as successful.
What have some of your struggles been with the podcasting world? There's a lot to learn when you're launching a podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm someone with a background in audio editing, and there was still a lot for me to learn. And I think a lot of the challenges honestly came from imposter syndrome. Thinking, oh, why would I, you know, put myself out there and stand by, you know, like Rowing in Color, like what a name, you know, how can I be associated with a brand like that, with a name like that? And like little old me, you know, who am I to do that? And it's not something that goes away ever. And I was just telling Christine before hitting record, I was just telling Christine that, you know, even putting a website out after the podcast, still, it's like you think you climbed the mountain and then you get up there and like, oh, wait, no, there's actually the clouds were blocking more. But the great part of it is after you've conquered one part, for example, you've conquered the editing, which, Patricia, I mean, the first time I edited an episode, I mean, you remember, I sent it to you like 10 times. I said, is this okay? And I mean, I'm fortunate to have a friend and partner who calls me out on things and says, it's okay. You know, a few people say, people say, you know, people say like, and for me to get past that, okay, like everything doesn't have to be perfect in order for it to be done. It just has to start. And I think a lot of people who are podcasters, a lot of people who are creators are perfectionists, and that's in our nature. It's our strength, but it also is kind of our downfall. And I think, I guess, to answer your question, Christine, I mean, two challenges is imposter syndrome, definitely, but also just getting past that perfectionism, because it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to start.
Yeah, for me, to answer your question, it would be for intros. Just doing an intro to your podcast, Denise, you know, you're laughing, but like, we have to write these out, and then we have to, and then she'll send them to me, because like, but then we do, like, re-recorded it like 100 times practically, and then we have to laugh at ourselves and then record it again. So I think intros are like the hardest thing, but like Denise said before, once you get past that, it's just like, okay, I'm gonna laugh at myself, but then the job gets done. So I think just being comfortable with people hearing your voice. Because we talk a lot as humans, we say whatever, but then it's different when people are actually listening to what's coming out your mouth. Like, they're just like, they can't see your face, they can't read, they can't see your body language, they just hear your tone, and they like hear what's coming out, and they're like, and that quickly can just be a turn on or a turn off, or like them listening or continue listening. But you know, I, like as Denise said, I say a lot, I say like a lot. I think about my thoughts while saying them. And I also think that makes us natural. It makes us not so, you know, and it shows that we have flaws. Biggest struggle is being confident in yourself and intros.
I swear, there's like, no matter how much experience we think we have in something, gosh, we just like can get into our own heads. And then like say really mean things about ourselves. And then it's like, oh wait, how do I replace that with a good thought about myself? Because I'm still podcasting here. So, and there is a reason why I'm doing it. There is a mission behind it. And for me personally, it's that I want to help more people, specifically women, share their voices and get those voices out there. I feel like no matter how much experience or time, the imposter syndrome thing does not go away. The perfectionism, all of that. So anyone out there who is listening and you're like, I don't have what it takes, you do. Stop talking to yourself out of that. You do. You just got to do it, and then have the guts to push publish at the end, which can be the hardest thing. And then like, you have to like let it stay out there. So I appreciate you guys sharing that, because I think that's something so many podcasters deal with. So something I love that you guys do, and this isn't necessarily a part of your podcast, but you've been working with a number of different organizations within the rowing community specifically to host webinars. And you also brought up that you're doing events for people. So how did that get prompted, this webinar and this digital event part of Rowing in Color? And what has it brought to your podcast?
I mean, how did we come to hosting virtual events and meetups? Again, our listeners, they reached out wanting to get connected with other people. And I mean, given our backgrounds, Patricia and I had a network of Black and Brown folks that we plan to reach out to, but that expanded, I don't even know if tenfold is probably a really small estimation, but that expanded quickly once we started gaining listeners and new listeners and new listeners. And once folks reached out to us, which didn't take long, once folks reached out to us saying they really wanted to get connected with other Black coaches, or they really wanted a mentorship program, or they really wanted to meet other Black women rowers, or the high school collegiate, you know, the high school rowers of color, the collegiate rowers of color. Once people wanted to not feel alone in just hearing the stories and knowing that there were others just like them in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world, also hearing these stories and wanting to just feel that sense of community. I mean, we didn't waste any time in connecting them. And it just so happens that Patricia and I do have some experience in community managing. I mean, Patricia, I feel like you'll never admit this, so I'll just brag for you, but Patricia has organized Learn to Rows, where she's knocked on people's doors, door to door, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, like door to door, wearing down her shoes and hustled and gotten people to show up for Learn to Rose. And so now we're just doing that virtually, you know, we're getting people to show up for events, people who think, oh, I got to be the only person of color on my team. Oh, I got to be the only white person at my boathouse who thinks about, you know, promoting diversity. You know, we connect people who have felt alone within this sensitive topic, within this sport of rowing where there are so many blind spots, as we mentioned before. And we connect people. And now it's after we've gone through the first round of events for a lot of these groups, we're thinking, okay, like, how can we make this a regular thing? How can we make this not just a one-time thing, but around the year thing? And so to be the place for folks has been a great privilege, to give folks not just of a voice, but also a safe space and a sense of community, has also just been something that has come back to us in return and just really motivates us and fuels us to do whatever is next. Because at the end of the day, you're thinking, oh, do I really want to, you know, create this landing page and learn how to do all this stuff that I've never done before? But then when you think at the end of the day, you know, I am doing this so that the community benefits, or so that this happens, when you start to think about it in those terms, that steep mountain going up into the clouds doesn't seem as steep. It doesn't seem as high. It doesn't seem as dangerous. And you don't feel as vulnerable as you do. And you just serving the community and really just creating these groups, meeting the need of the audience, meeting the need of the listeners, has really just, it's never steered us the wrong way.
Everything she said is spot on. It was the people wanting something and us helping provide it. And we, I think also we didn't have to do much on our part with it. Once the connection started happening, everyone jumped on it on their own. Like, people then reached out and they started building. And we're like, oh, this is the idea that we think we should do it. But, like, you know, you guys have this platform. Can we use your platform to kind of spread the message and get other people to join us with this activity or with the process? And it was, of course, it's our duty as, you know, Rowing of Color hosts to provide that if there is a space that people of color want to get together with and, you know, have a healthy conversation. Without judgment, without, you know, anyone questioning them. And so I think it was just, like Dina said, there was a need, and we used our platform to kind of give them a space where they could have that conversation or be comfortable with each other. Like, I remember, not even that long, maybe like 2 weeks ago, being able to be part of one of the, I think, first time in my life, I think I've ever sat down and did a virtual conversation with maybe 30 women of color. Women of color in rowing, and so that was a space. There was everyone ranging from the ages of, I think, 13, who were there with their parents and their siblings who rowed, to adults who are in, I don't even want to say, but they are, you know, they are adults. Like, they've been rowing for years, 15, 25 years of rowing, and we're all sharing a space, and we're all talking about this sport and how we've been treated in the sport, but then the benefits of the sport. And so it was a platform, we're a platform, and people needed the space, and then we're providing it, and we'll continue providing it as long as people need the space to keep talking. And if it means doing webinars, if it means doing a yoga session for people of color, then that's what we'll do. Because those seem to be very successful. And for a lot of people, just kind of like self-care. Self-love is very important at the moment, because this is something that people of color haven't been able to do for a while. There's just, like, think about you and your community. And so as we keep providing the spaces that people keep bringing up as, okay, this is an empty spot, help us. And we're like, okay, well, we can get you a group of these people, and this is how you guys can go about it.
And I saw you guys do have that event coming up soon, a virtual yoga event.
Yeah, we have it on this Wednesday. Oh, yeah, that's happening this Wednesday. And again, like, we're able to pay our facilitators for this because of the Patreon fund, because one of our listeners suggested the Patreon fund. So we just feel like we're it's like the process. We're all just a community. It's not that we're working for the community, but we've built this community, and we're helping each other to help each other out.
What has been your biggest learning curve?
That's a great question. Biggest learning curve. I know for me, as a non-Black person of color, and as a daughter of immigrants, and as a Filipina American, speaking vulnerably about any part of my identity, I mean, forget the fact that I'm queer. I mean, that's a whole different conversation. But speaking honestly about any part of my identity, and I guess unlearning how to like not speak about certain parts of myself, unlearning the cultural, you know, you don't do this, you don't say that, unlearning all of that, which I think largely comes from my cultural upbringing and largely comes from being a daughter of immigrants. I think being okay and confident speaking with my full name, because originally we were only going to provide our first names because we were so like, oh, little old me, like we can't let people know who we are. I think getting past that and seeing just the importance of showing that we're humans, we're not perfect, we're not experts in the slightest, we're not here to teach, we're here to learn just alongside everyone else, just alongside our community, and learn from and with each other. So I think just getting past that sense of vulnerability as, again, as like a Filipino American, as what I was taught as a daughter of immigrants, you know, what we share and don't share about our identities, getting past that is and still has been the biggest learning curve. And I mean, it's evidenced because there's an episode about Patricia, but there's still not an episode about me. And we've already gotten some angry listeners about that. So I can't just say we have to listen to our listeners and then I don't listen to them about that. But it's definitely a learning curve. And it's a blessing in disguise because it's both a professional and personal learning curve. And I mean, just like every part of this journey so far, once we get past that, I mean, so many more doors open up. So still a work in progress, but that's my learning curve so far.
Listening to myself, I still skim, and I know this is the worst, I still skim anytime I'm talking in the recordings. I try to listen to it. I just don't. I've never, which is terrible because I was a coxswain, but I hated when they put a recording on me. They were just like, you're going to go out there and race and record yourself. And I would hate it. I like, something about that, like hearing myself talk, I'm just like, no, why would you want to torture yourself like that? Which I shouldn't be saying because there's thousands of people listening to me talk on a podcast all the time. So, but like, I just never liked it. So it was, in the beginning, I used to be like, Denise, I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't do this. And there was a whole like, you got this, you'll be fine. You know, you got like, you'll, like, this is nothing. You're talking to me. And I'm just like, no, I know I'm being recorded. And so growing and like realizing that I as much as I hate it, there's information that needs to come out. And the only way that can come out is through my voice. And so it's talking myself into like this fake confidence, you know, fake it till you make it confidence of like, you got this, like, this is not bad. There's worse things I could be doing or that could be happening to me. You know, I can easily sit down for an hour, you know, 45 minutes, whatever it is, and just talk and ask questions because it's not about me. The biggest thing is that I also have to remember is like, this is not about me per se. This is about letting this person tell their story. And even though I'm uncomfortable, this person has been uncomfortable with this story for a long time. And this is a platform we have that's going to help this person and other people who felt this way, you know, learn how to deal with it.
A really big takeaway for our audience there is it's not about you. It's about the people you're serving. It's about the people you're talking to. And the more, and I coach this, I do some media coaching, and the more we get out of our heads and stop thinking about what we're saying and how we look when we're saying it or how we sound when we're saying it, and instead start thinking of, why are we saying this? Who is listening? What do they want to know? How can I answer their questions and serve their needs, then all of that other stuff just goes away and we end up talking better, speaking better, looking better. All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up. Is there anything else that you guys would like to share with the audience here as our podcast coaches for the day? Is there anything else you'd like to share?
What I'd love to share with the audience is that, well, two things. One, even though I think on paper, I might sound like someone who might have an edge with podcasting, having had audio editing experience, having been comfortable around a mic before, I think even though on paper I might seem like someone who's comfortable with podcasting, I think anyone with or without this experience can do it. And especially if you're a woman, you absolutely can do it. There is a need for your voice. You absolutely belong in this space. And definitely take up that space, because as evidenced by Christine here, there are no shortage of fellow female entrepreneurs, fellow female podcasters who are there to help lift each other up. One of the, I don't know how to describe it, it wasn't necessarily a surprise because I don't want to say I didn't expect it, but one of the things that have just, that we've just been so grateful for is just the amount of support we've received from fellow women and fellow people of color who've just reached out and said, hey, I can help you do this. Like, when's the time we can talk? And we've met so many people from across the country, from LA, from LA, from Michigan, from other places that we haven't even been to. We've had fellow women and fellow people of color reaching out to us and say, hey, like, I can help you out. And that was one of the most surprising and just happily, like, we accepted it with open arms, and that imposter syndrome didn't seem like something we had to take down by ourselves. Having the support of women who lift up other women has been the most surprising and positive thing so far. So I think one last takeaway for the audience is just that not only is there a community of your listeners waiting to hear your voice and waiting to hear what you have to say and the transformation that you have for them with your stories and your podcast, but there's also a community of podcasters, a community of female entrepreneurs who are waiting to lift you up. And we cannot wait to pay forward what Christine has done with us, what other folks have done with us. And we're just waiting for the next round of folks to help lift up and pay forward what has happened with us.
Yeah, no, I like Denise said, I agree. Like, you have to, you know, like, there's a big community waiting for you once you're out there, and there are people who are rooting for you to be successful. Even if you don't feel like, oh my God, I'm gonna be successful, it's gonna take time. You're not gonna wake up one morning and be like, yeah, you know, or you might. But it does, there's a process, but there are people who are gonna root for you and they're gonna support you in any way that's possible. But I would say that, it sounds so normal, so cliche, like, just enjoy it. But, like, you have to really enjoy it. You have to find, you should never create a podcast just for the monetary benefits. You should do it because this is something you really want to do, and it's something you enjoy, because there's moments where you have to laugh at yourself. Sometimes you have to just, you know, step out of your comfort zone to make your interviewing comfortable. And so you have to be able to just, like, throw caution to the wind and just go at it. And if you fail, then don't look at it as a failing process. Look at it as, okay, this is another thing that I realized I learned from and I can do better next time. But, like, because you're not, I don't think you'll ever really fail. Like, you, unless you stop caring and stop putting that extra energy in and that enjoyment into it, you won't fail. You fail by not catering to your audience, and your audience will always be there as long as they sense this, like, drive of, you know, this person really cares about this topic. They really are, they, you know, people have podcasts about food, and there are people who have podcasts about, you know, the best milkshake to drink. And those are successful because they put so much energy into those podcasts. And so if you're, whatever you're creating, create it and enjoy it.
I think there's a quote that's like, people won't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. And I think Patricia, you summed that up. Also, you got to tell me about this milkshake podcast, because that sounds amazing.
That's the only ones I listen to is my milkshakes.
Well, thank you both for being a part of this week's episode. I so appreciate it. And I love hearing more about your story. I feel like I could just keep asking you guys questions. Just thank you guys so much. And if anybody wants to find the Rowing in Color podcast, what would you like people to know?
We are on Instagram at Rowing in Color, R-O-W-I-N-G in color. And we also have a website, and a part of the website that's specifically for listeners of Christine. If you head to rowingincolor.com/Christine, head over there, and we have something special for Christine's listeners. But if anyone wants to get in touch with us, that's on Instagram at rowingincolor or rowingincolor.com/Christine.
Well, thank you so much. I'm sure our listeners are going to love checking out those resources that you provided. I took a look at them and they're really helpful.
Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.